Deliberately investing in you. The ideal entrepreneur. 3. The ability to inspire. The most inspirational people I know aren't always the best salespeople. They're the people I believe in. Whether it's the nerdy inventor who makes a hash of his presentation on Dragon's Den, or Gordon Ramsay, the reason I back them is because I can see how passionate they are about their business. Lord knows I'm not the best salesman, or the slickest operator, and in my early days I was far from polished, but no one doubted that I believed in myself, and I was passionate about my business, and this helped me build a team and a company. So, how do you inspire people? A. Know your business inside out. Know what the cash flow will be in month 5, know which markets you'll target in year 2, know the name of the person who empties the bins in your office. The more you know, the more you can lead, and the more you'll inspire people. B. Be positive. Focus on the upside, and tell everyone about the benefits of your venture. Listen to other people, especially when they have something critical to say about your business, as this shows you're sensitive and adaptable, rather than pig-headed and bloody-minded. But above all else, smile. C. Show your desire. If I believe you want it enough to work hard for it, I'm more likely to tag along for the ride. 4. The ability to manage. Whether it's people, resources, or data, a successful entrepreneur needs to be organized. Data needs to be stored so it can be easily and fruitfully accessed, and people need to be properly trained and incentivized. How to manage data. Use a computer to create a database of contacts, customers, and anyone else who might be valuable to your organization. Use a spreadsheet to keep on top of your expenditure and income. Stock up on Lever Arch files and keep all your receipts and invoices in date order. Get a big page-to-a-day diary and write in all your appointments and reminders to follow up on calls and meetings. Or use the diary on your BlackBerry or iCal and set up alerts so you never miss a meeting. The closer you are to your data, the more you can identify trends in transaction levels, or spot a discrepancy, and the more you'll understand your business. Even the smallest businesses benefit from filing everything in an orderly fashion. How to manage people. Managing people requires different tools. If you're part of a management team, you want to make sure that everyone's roles are well defined, and that you each know what you're responsible for, so that you don't step on each other's toes. These are my guidelines for effective people management. Agree what each of you is responsible for. Set an achievable target for each of you. Set a deadline for achieving those targets. Meet at a regular time and place to update each other on your progress. Aside from that, leave each person to get on with his or her own job. The people who work for you need to know what is expected of them, how their work will be monitored, what they have the authority to do without referring to you, and the time frames they are expected to work to. No one appreciates a boss or a business partner who micromanages their every move. A successful entrepreneur is one who can delegate effectively. 5. The ability to see things through. Do you want to know the difference between successful and unsuccessful entrepreneurs? It's simple. Perseverance. Almost every venture I've ever been involved in or been witness to could have gone belly up. When you get demoralized, when you get rejected, when 15 people want 20 things from you, you'd have to be an alien not to want to run away and hide. The secret to success is to carry on. Case study. Name: Simon Woodruff, OBE. Age: 55. Job: founder, Yo Sushi. Qualifications: 2 O-levels. www.yocompany.biz. One of the lessons I've learned is that business, like life, is messy. You can't predict how your career in business will work out. I left school at 16 and went to Cambridge Tech to do my A-levels. My parents probably hoped I'd become a military man like my dad, or a stockbroker. but I never went to lectures, so I never got any A-levels, and I became a hippie. I got busted for drugs when I was 19, and was sentenced to 8 weeks at Her Majesty's pleasure in North Sea Camp. When I came out, I didn't know what to do, so I went to London, and ended up answering an ad in The Stage for a stage manager's job in a tiny theatre. It paid about 50p a day, but I eventually moved on to the Richmond Theatre. Although the work was hard and the money was crap, after a year I realised I had actually learned something, and that I had some useful skills. Then I got into rock and roll, and if you knew your stage left from your stage right, then you were seen as an expert. I started working with bands like The Sweet and Vinegar Joe, first as a roadie, then doing their lighting. I was freelance, but I regularly worked for the same companies, and one day in the mid-1970s, I was in